Baptist Lonnie. I went down on, when was it, Thursday, Friday, I can't even remember the weeks that it's going. I don't know if you're having weeks like that, that is, they go by like a blur, but when I went down to see the work that Zelani was doing there, I walked out of that valley very humbled. Just the work that's taking place and just the impact of a house on an individual. But not only that, the surrounding community, as there was a meal being shared that Zelani had provided for everyone. And Zelani started to point out, you know, this guy here is brilliant at welding and there's just no work at the moment. This guy is good at this. And you just sit there and it saddens you and you just want to say, come on, South Africa, come on, leadership, wake up. Let's get our country employed. And you get stirred up. And you can be overwhelmed as well. But you realize that as you help the one, as you work with one individual, you can change a nation. There's one person at a time. So I just want to honor you before you head out, Zelani. Just honor you. Okay. Another thing is a lot of change is happening at the moment in church. There's new chairs and a new seating thing. And I just want to say to you all, thank you for being so gracious, allowing change to take place in your midst, especially for those who were part of Sarepta. We've come into your midst and things are happening. And it's so important that during this time, we have change. It reminded me of a phrase that Nicky Gumbel said. When Nicky Gumbel took over Holy Trinity, Bob Brompton, from Sandy Miller, he was worried that things would change. He really valued the way the church was under Sandy Miller. And his son came and said to him, Dad, if things don't change, things change in order that they stay the same. Because if we don't have change, we actually go backwards. And we actually go back and become a monument of something of the past. But we must continue honoring what God has done, but continue moving forward in change as we bring a new thing. We're at the men's group, and Gerard, where's Gerard? There you are. Upper Highway Vineyard, UHV, and Gerard came up with the term ultra high voltage. Is that right? Okay. So we're an ultra high voltage church. But just a quick update of where we're at. Dave Hotchkiss is in Kitwe. He's doing a training course for radio. Is that the best way to describe it? I don't fully understand what David does yet, but it's far and wide, and it affects beyond the local church. And he's been tirelessly working with us. We've got the constitution done for the new church. We've registered Upper Highway Vineyard, and we're just in the process now of getting the bank sorted, so please bear with us. So for now, please use your current Sarepta bank account and the Church in a Way bank account. And we're hoping by next week to be well down on that road. And also to say, if anybody's young and young at heart, there is overflow parking at the Gillett Center here. So for those of you that don't mind a bit of a walk, please park over there. We have a car guard out there. And then from next Sunday, we're going to have visitors packs for first-time visitors, and they're going to get given a free cappuccino. Are there any first-time visitors today? Because we want to give you a cappuccino next week. Okay. I saw all those hands up. Welcome. We don't want to single you out, but next week we want to give you a free cappuccino as well. Great to have you with us. Yeah. So from next week, we'll have our first-time visitors packs going. And the good news, the most exciting news, is that the children who come are going to get a free slushie. Maybe you want to join kids' church. Yeah, Veronica, we just want to honor Charlene today. They're having a party up there. But from next week, we're looking at reimagining, reinventing. And Ron's heart is to resource people. Ron's been involved in kids' church for 15 years, youth and all those things. But she's really looking for a team. So young people or young at heart, please, it's a wonderful opportunity to minister to people. I started in youth and kids' church. And I tell you what, you grow more by teaching the word than just by reading it, as you shared with the youth. So I want to encourage young people, let's get behind that. All right, today I want to share around the seed for change. Does anybody here love change? And I got my hand up because I love change. Is anybody, quite a lot of you, hey? Wow. Who's scared of change? Let's be honest. Okay. Okay. All right. Change can be scary, but it's exciting. Change. Things are always moving forward and changing. I mean, technology is changing at a massive rate now. But in God's kingdom, change starts with the seed. There's one lady, Jochebed. She had a seed inside her. and his name became Moses. And it says of Moses in Hebrews 11, 23, 26. And I want to encourage you, can we go back and be an old school church? Can we bring our Bibles on Sunday? Who's for that? Okay. I see that Bible at the back there, yeah. We will have scriptures on the screen, there's a new Bible, a techno Bible, yeah. And it says here, by faith, and this is Hebrews 11, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of a Pharaoh's daughter. You know, the movies portray Moses growing up in Pharaoh's house, thinking he's Egyptian, and when he's later in life finds out that he's actually an Israelite. That's far from true. He knew who he was, and he felt in his own right that he could set them free, in his own flesh, in his own power that he could. But God had to do a work in his life. So for 40 years of his life, he became powerful in word and deed. He could say to this one, build that, and I'd have to build it. And he would make it done because he was that kind of person. And then he approached to the Israelites and said, I'm your man, I can set you free. And we know how the story goes. He ended up killing an Egyptian, running for his life. And then for 40 years, God had to remove Egypt out of him. Until he became a man who lacked confidence, could hardly speak, lost his identity in who he was, and never felt that he was the man anymore for the job. His flesh had no means to him until he counted God in the burning bush. And what's quite interesting about Moses is that when you look at the miracles that happened, Moses did none of the first three. God used Aaron. And God told Aaron, stretch your staff and your hand over the waters, and the waters turned to blood. God told Aaron, stretch your hand over the streams, the canals, the ponds, and the frogs came. God said to Aaron, hit the rod in the dust, hit your staff in the dust, and gnats came. Where was Moses? God was speaking to him, but Aaron was doing the work, and then it shifted. And Moses started to realize God's calling was on his life, and he took that step. And we know from then onwards, all the miracles came through Moses. And the miracle of the flies. But there was a shift in the miracles when Moses took up his godly calling. And that was a fact that from that day onwards, Israel were never touched by the plagues. When the flies came, they came everywhere except Goshen. And we see Moses stepping into his new calling. He had been in the desert. He had been humbled. He had lost confidence in the flesh. But God, for the next 40 years, would teach him his ways. And he grew in faith. But it all started with a seed in a woman's womb, Jochebed. That God knew that there would be a man coming who would deliver Israel. And then we look at a woman, a teenager, who has the Holy Spirit come upon her, and a seed gets placed in her. And we know that this son will be called Jesus, and he'll be the son of the Most High God. There was a divine impartation of a seed that the God who filled the universe became a tiny little seed in a woman's womb, a seed for change. And the world would never be the same again. And we know that seed was persecuted. Mary had to go off with Joseph to Egypt for 2 years, just like Moses was persecuted. So you know that whenever there's a calling of God on your life, persecution will come. The question is, not like the second soil, that when persecution comes, you wither up and you shrink back and you don't rise in your calling. And we see how both in the case of Moses and then Mary and Joseph, how they overcame persecution and they stepped into the calling. I love what it says here about Jesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. He who descended, he who became nothing, is the very one who ascended higher than the heavens in order to fill the entire universe. Hey, the entire universe. That's far beyond our imagination. I preached a sermon a while ago. When is the right time to go back to Egypt? And as we look in Scripture, how there were times when it was good to go back to Egypt and come out of it. But there's times where you resist that and you say, no, Lord, I'm standing here. And if you look at the history of the prophets, some of them were told by God to stay here, don't go to Egypt. And some of them were forced to be taken there. So we see how Moses came as a seed, how he came in through God's power, delivered Egypt out of the slavery, out of the promised land. We see the same with Jesus so wonderfully, how he defeated the enemy, the devil, and brought us out of bondage. That today you are free indeed. The question is, do you believe it or not? Do we believe it, sure? Or do we truly know that we're free and we're walking in freedom? So he set us free. Whom the Son has set free, we are free indeed. Satan has, our enemy, the devil, has no more power over us. We are free. Last week I shared around good seed and the bad seed. And it's such a picture to think about this. There's seed being thrown all over this world, whether it's through media, whether it's words spoken of your life, and there's good seed and bad seed. The question is, are we stopping the bad seed from entering in our hearts? Or are we grabbing hold of the good seed, believing it, overcoming persecution, overcoming the world, allowing it to take root in our hearts so that something big can be planted, that when we take faith and the seed, something big, that the seed, even the tiniest of seeds, becomes a great tree. I don't know if you've ever been to the bush. Maybe I can use my garden as an example. We had a forest in our garden. The front and the back was just a forest. And it was just a wall of trees. So I slowly started to cut back. And then as you're cutting back, you see this beautiful tree that was hidden. And now it's exposed and there it stands. I don't know if you've seen that in the bush. You see maybe an acacia tree with the sun setting behind it, a typical African view. But we see this mighty tree. That's what you and I are called to be as believers, like mighty trees. In fact, we're called to be a sign and a wonder, that just as you admire a tree in nature, in the same way, we are called to be like that tree, a sign and a wonder in the community that God has placed us. But it all started with a seed in your life. I want to share some testimonies of good seed and bad seed. One of them is quite tragic, and one of them was quite life-changing for this young lady. But we had a friend whose sister was a very good swimmer, very top swimmer. One day, someone went to her and said, wow, you got such broad shoulders. And a seed was planted in this lady's life that caused her to move towards anorexia. 10 years later, she died from anorexia. Because one person threw a comment and the enemy used that to plant a seed in her life. While I was a youth pastor in Durban North, one of the mums came to me and said, my daughter, she's 14, I've just admitted her into a hospital, she's anorexic. And I went to go visit her with a mum and I asked her to share her story, what happens. And she said whenever she took some food and was about to eat it, a voice would say to her, you're going to get fat. And we got to minister to her, but the breakthrough came when she realized that word was a lie. And she found truth, and she slowly came out of that process. And so we understand this, that there's a battle, that when there's a truth, there's also a lie out there. The question is, what are we believing? Because when the lie takes root in our hearts, and there's so many things floating around in media and amongst us and even the enemy himself, that when we say, no, I reject that as a lie and I'm holding on to this truth, that truth, when it gets set into our hearts, changes us. I had a young guy in my youth. His name was Henk Goris. I've shared this testimony with him and I've got permission from him to share the testimony. He was the wild kid in our youth. He was the naughty one. He'd like dye his hair different colors when he went away on mission trips. He was the wild, fun one. And we used to say, what the Henk, to him all the time. And then when I left youth ministry and moved on, he went up and studied in Potch and became a really big guy. And then I met him a few years later, and he came to see me. I said, "Hi." And he was this mature, solid, upright man. And I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I've had to leave university. Both my kidneys have stopped functioning. I have to start dialysis, and I wanted to come see you." So I looked him in the eye and I said, "Great, I want to see you once a week. We're going to pray for you." And we started a journey of praying. He was 500 on the list of kidneys. So he was 500. So 500 people were ahead of him to get a kidney. And we prayed every week. And while we were praying, I was cycling at the time. And I used to take him cycling with us. And he would lag so far behind. It was one of those loops that you do in Durban North on the beachfront. He would lag so far behind. He had no energy, no strength. And we kept praying. We kept praying. Kept speaking truth and life over him. He went from 500 to number one. He got a kidney. We were really praying for a miracle. But it didn't stop there. He then went on and represented South Africa in the World Transplant Games in cycling. And I had the joy of doing his wedding, and he married the most attractive woman. Just speaking life, words of life. Even when it looks hopeless, and maybe you've come forward this morning with a situation that looks hopeless, God wants to plant a seed of truth in your life. He wants to dispel the lies and bring us into truth. So I don't know what your story is, what you're facing right now, but can I say that God wants to speak truth in your life? So our whole goal in life is to recognize what's a lie and what's the truth. And once we understand that, we are well on our way to finding our purpose, our destiny, and calling. So if the world is like Egypt in that sense, we know from Scripture, Romans 12:2, that we mustn't conform to the pattern of this world, but we must renew our minds. We must find truth. Because then we'll see the evidence of God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. So when you go down to a valley and it looks hopeless, and there's mud and collapsed homes, it's a place where God can do a great and mighty work. That you don't live by the pattern of this world anymore. I shared we are out of this world. We're not normal people. We are peculiar people. So when we get this truth, and we have to know this truth, we have to know this truth. If we're not reading this, how will we fully know truth? Because when Jesus responded to the lies of the enemy, he responded with truth from the Word. Because the battle, as Joyce Meyer would say, the battle is in the mind. That we need to know truth. It's interesting with Jesus, you look at his ministry, it all starts off with his Father saying, "You are my beloved Son, who I love and I'm well pleased." There's the truth. What does the enemy do? If you are, takes the word beloved out, if you are the Son of God, then do this. And we see how the enemy comes and he has no power over us except this, that he can lie to us. And when we believe the lie, he's got us. But when we can come with the truth and say, "No, this is who I am. Let me remind you your fate." And we don't address the enemy directly, we do in the name of Jesus. But I'm on good ground. You're not on good ground. And we understand who we are. Don't you just love those movies where you see someone who's just in a bad place and they suddenly find out who they are? Maybe they're in a boxing fight, it's round 11, and they're getting hammered, and then suddenly they just have something rises up, and the eye of the tiger starts playing, and you just, it's that kind of picture. Suddenly it's a realization, do you know who's inside me? Because we look at Scripture in terms of how we get saved. It says here, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's something about when our words line up with what we believe inside. And I just love the fact that God has said that you need to confess with your mouth. So I want to give you a testimony from my life. God gave me this word over this nation of South Africa that I'm about to do something in your day from Habakkuk that if I had to tell you, you wouldn't believe me. I did share here when I did share that the Asbury revival that was happening in America, they used that same scripture. I got so encouraged from that. But now if I arrive at a braai, and this happened to me, if you arrive at a braai and everyone's trash talking the country how bad it is, and you come into agreement with that, is what you're confessing lining up with what you believe? And I was at a braai with all these guys, and I had to go and do a baby dedication. I didn't know any of them. They were all trash talking their wives and this country. I don't know why men do that. And I stood there, and I said to them, "You guys are forgetting one thing." And they looked at me, and I said, "God." And they became very quiet around that braai. In fact, I've had guys hide beers behind their backs. I don't know why they do that when you find out you're a pastor, but they suddenly you're like... So our words have to line up with what we believe. Our words have to line up with truth. When we believe that God is my provider in a situation, I can't go and say, "Oh, I'm in a desperate place." We have to line ourselves with truth and speak truth. And even when the persecution comes because of the word, we keep refuting it and standing against the word. Because those with a pure, noble heart, those who persevere, those who stand on the truth, will see God move. Because when God speaks, He doesn't lie. There is the father of lies, and he is the enemy. So I want to encourage you today. What seed has God placed in your heart? What has God spoken over your life? Let us speak that out today. Let us dispel the lie. The next question is, Tukosa, where's that Tukosa? He's such an anointed player. Can I ask you to do a number on us on the keyboard as we just end this time together? Can I ask you to play? Are you ready to play? There's anything you want. You know, come up. I had the joy we were doing the sign desk and Tukosa painted it, just spending time with this young man, such a quality young man, and I asked him if you would just play some music. So I want to ask you to just bow your heads quickly and close your eyes and just think on your life. That's not quite the tune we're looking for. But let's, what are the lies spoken? Maybe I can just share a vulnerable testimony. When I got saved, I remember as a child in a roller skating rink in Pietermaritzburg, going up to a girl and just saying, "You're ugly." And I just remember the conviction coming over me that of all the things that I've said. And sometimes we too become agents of sowing bad seed. And I repented and I just felt just the weight of what we can say over people too. Are we speaking words of life? Or at times are we being used by the enemy? Just watch the words we say over people. But Father, I pray today, whatever the lies are that have been spoken, that you dispel those lies and replace it with truth. You say that when that seed of the message of the kingdom comes into our heart, when we resist this world and all the world throws at us, and as we persevere, believe the seed, receive it with joy, we can see a 30, 60, 100-fold return in our lives. And Father, we just pray that over everyone here this morning, over this church, a 30, 60, 100-fold return, Lord. And Father, we just silence the accusations of the enemy. We silence the lies, and we speak the words of truth, the truth that sets us free. We speak over this church, Father, this church that you bring in together, Father, will go beyond itself, Father. We will see many come to faith through the lives here, Father. We pray new communities of faith will develop far and beyond ourselves, Father, because what you are releasing and imparting in our midst, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of truth. And you speak truth into our hearts today, Lord. We've had a time of ministry already, but Father, if there's anyone here right now, Lord, where the lie of the enemy has taken root, Father, we thank you that you reveal it, you expose it, you nullify it, and you speak truth in the name of Jesus, that we are truly set free, Lord. We thank you, Father, even this week for signs of your goodness. We pray that even this week, Father, there'll be testimonies of your goodness, Father, because you are the God who sees. You're the Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees and the God who provides. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God who can heal, Lord. You are Jehovah Nissi, the God who wars on our behalf, Lord. And we have heaven living inside of us because of the blood of Jesus, Lord. I pray that we will rise up in our calling and our purposes, Father. I pray for those here, Father, who have a ministry calling on their life, Father. Things that you place deep within them, Father. We thank you for an acceleration, Father, in that, in this new season. That new ministries will be birthed in this community, Father. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, if there's anyone who would like any ministry around what was shared, if there's a lie in your heart that you want truth spoken of, we would love to minister with you afterwards. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we look forward to Zelani sharing with us next Sunday in our time together. So if you'd like some ministry, please come forward. Otherwise, we'll look forward to seeing you next week, Sunday. God bless you all. Thank you, Lord.